sidelines this hour. Australia gets outraged over the use of its passports by an Israeli hit squad, summons the Israeli ambassador for explanations. A fresh UN report reveals that 131 children have been killed in last year's U.S. air raids in Afghanistan. And the Human Rights Watch slams Peace Prize laureate Barack Obama, says the change in U.S. administration has been limited to presidential rhetoric. It is 7 p.m. in Washington and 4 a.m. in Dubai. This is Press TV's World News. Well, Australia has summoned the Israeli ambassador to demand an explanation for the fraudulent use of its citizens' passports by suspected Mossad agents accused of assassinating a Hamas official in Dubai. Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd expressed his deep concern and said Australia would not remain silent on the issue. This after Dubai police identified 15 new suspects, including three Australians, in the assassination of Mahmoud al-Mabhouh. Several European countries have already expressed deep concerns over the passport abuses. Dubai police officials say they are 99% sure that the Israeli intelligence service Mossad has been behind the assassination of the Hamas official. Well, for more on that assassination in Dubai, we're joined by Ali Al-Ahmad, who is the director with IGOs, joins us via satellite from Washington. Sir, thank you very much for joining our broadcast. Now, all involved countries have reacted to the use of the forged or stolen passports by Mossad. What is your assessment of those reactions? I mean, are these countries now in save face mode in order to publicly distance themselves while undoubtedly supporting in the background?
I think you are absolutely right when you said that these countries are trying to basically do the minimum regarding to this issue to other country using their own passports and forge them to commit this act. Australia, the UK, and France and other countries have really taken a very minimalist approach to this, and it does not reach to the level of condemnation or taking serious measure against the Israeli government.
Now, Israel itself has been fairly mute over the assassination, apart from Livni's public joy over the success of the operation. Now, is this a simple case of Mossad being able to do anything it wants without significant consequence by the international community?
Well, as we know, that this is not the first time the Mossad has assassinated and killed people and committed other acts similar to this around the world. And it has been almost 40 years of that of these operations without really any repercussion anywhere. The Mossad attacked in Amman and now attacking in Dubai. So it is reaching inside Arab countries and doing what it wants and without much repercussions. And the United or the European countries have been a vehicle, and their passport have been a vehicle, and their territory have been a vehicle of these operations without much repercussion for Israel. And I do not expect any repercussions for this operation, especially given the fact that European countries and the United States and Western governments in general view Hamas as an enemy and as a terrorist organization. So this is not there is no possibility in my mind that these countries will take any serious steps to punish Israel for using their passports illegally or using their territories and resources. So you have to remember also the United States is involved because the banks, the bank that was used to funnel the money to use the credit cards used by the assassins is a bank in the United States. It's an American bank.
Right now, sir, although Interpol has issued red notices and has placed suspects on its most wanted list, there hasn't been any confirmation by countries worldwide that they will actually respect Interpol's warrants. I mean, how far do you think Interpol would be willing to go to ensure that its warrants are respected and acted upon?
The Interpol advisory or warrants are really limited and depend on the political will of these countries and the desire of these countries to implement them. It is more so of an advisory, really. It's not on paper, this is supposed to be a mandatory demand requests for arrest, but in most cases, or in these cases, which involves political assassinations and political impact and repercussions, usually these countries do not implement these warrants. And we have seen recently with the case, for example, of Livni, who was in the UK and was allowed to leave despite the fact that a British court had issued an arrest warrant against her. So this is not, I do not expect any arresting of any of these Mossad agents. It did not happen in the past, so I don't see any why it would happen now.
Now, Western media has reacted with somewhat of an outcry over the assassination, yet there are already hints of support for the killing of who's now called, quote-unquote, an enemy combatant. How soon do you see the media tide turning in favor for Mossad?
I think generally the Western media, I wouldn't say all of it, but especially in the United States, has been what we can call restrained glee on their part, that they are happy this happened and they were defending Mossad. And Western media tends to take these stands because of the relationship between Israel and the Western countries. As long as the person who's killed is an Arab or Muslim, it doesn't raise the anger and scrutiny that it does when, for example, an American or a Westerner is killed in similar situation. Imagine if this was an American or a British citizen who was killed in this manner. This would really create an outrage around the world and calls and naming of these people as terrorists and killers. But because the victim here is an Arab and a Muslim and a Palestinian to boot, this is not going to create the outrage that you would expect in similar attacks on other nationalities.
Mr. Ali Al-Ahmed, director with the IGA, joining us there via satellite from Washington. Sir, thank you very much for your insight. Well, a new UN report shows over 130 Afghan children were killed in U.S.-led air raids in the war-torn nation last year. The report says most of the deaths occurred during aerial strikes, as well as search and raid by special task forces. It says about 128 children also died in other violence across the country. The UN Secretary General's Special Representative for Children and Armed Conflict has expressed the issue. She also hoped to enter into a protocol so that children do not face encounter during operations. U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigations Chief Robert Mueller arrived in Islamabad on Wednesday to discuss the recent arrest of a senior pro-Taliban leader and the Indian concerns of alleged cross-border terrorism from Pakistan following the 2008 Mumbai attacks.
FBI Director Robert Mueller, who was here on a one-day official trip, held a tripartite session on Wednesday with Pakistani and Afghan interior ministers. The three officials agreed to enhance information sharing on the wanted militants. The U.S. wants to be allowed to interrogate the key Taliban commander Mullah Baradar, nabbed in Karachi 2 weeks ago in a joint CIA and Pakistani intelligence operation. The FBI director also met with other high-ranking officials at the Pakistan Intelligence Bureau, the Federal Investigations Agency, and Inter-Services Intelligence Headquarters. Interior Minister Rehman Malik, who also held separate meetings with the two foreign officials, said stakeholders would have to play their respective role for peace in the region, adding a stable Afghanistan was in the interest of the whole region. The FBI chief visit comes against the backdrop of 13 February's Pune blast in India and ahead of the meeting of the foreign secretaries of India and Pakistan on Thursday. Mr. Mueller urged Pakistani officials to take action against those involved in terrorist activities in India. Pakistan wants the U.S. to come up with evidence to support claims of its involvement in such incidents.
I think the demand of India is highly unreasonable. When they demanded arrests, investigation into Bombay attack. We did. We would like the allegation not to be leveled against us. If they have any information, I, through your television channel, I request them, give us information. But this is how we have to move forward.
Pakistan is under pending issues between South Asian rivals must be resolved for Pakistan to fully focus on its borders with Afghanistan.
The argument by the American leadership was twofold, that as long as tension remains in relations between India and Pakistan, Pakistan is not able to sufficiently focus on the counter-terrorism and the counter-insurgency effort on its western frontiers with Afghanistan.
The three have agreed to meet again in a month's time to monitor progress and to establish new milestones for further cooperation. Experts say such visits may result in further rests, but whether they will lead to a genuine reapproachment in South Asia is far from certain. In Islamabad, Sib Kefi, Press TV.
In other news, Human Rights Watch slams U.S. President Barack Obama, saying change in the U.S. administration has been limited to presidential rhetoric. Executive Director of Human Rights Watch, Kenneth Roth, says when it comes to promoting human rights, there has undoubtedly been a marked improvement in presidential rhetoric. However, he says the translation of those words into deeds remains incomplete. Roth mentions that Obama's one-year deadline for closing Guantanamo has slipped. Human Rights Watch and other NGOs urge the administration to prosecute detainees in regular federal courts, repatriate them, or resettle them in safe countries. However, he says Obama's refusal to end military commissions and detention without trial continues the spirit of Guantanamo even after it has been shut. The rights group says Washington's strong criticism of the Goldstone report questioned Obama's impartiality on human rights for friends and foes. Iran's Assembly of Experts has praised in a report leader Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei's capabilities and excellent managerial wisdom in handling challenging situations. The Assembly's Research Commission says as time goes by, the leader's capacities and his leadership skills are commendable. The Assembly, which consists of top clerics, has mostly highlighted the periods before the June 12th presidential elections and after that. It says that the leader's recommendations during election campaigns to a very large extent prevented the post-vote situation from worsening. The report has detailed what it calls enemy plots to topple the Islamic Republic through vote fraud claims. It has also indicated that February 11th national rally to mark the 31st anniversary of the Islamic Revolution was a telltale sign of the people's complete backing of their supreme leader. Well, Iranian intelligence officials have released more details on the hunt for the ringleader of the notorious terrorist group Jundullah and his links with the United States. We must warn our viewers that this news piece does include images that some may find disturbing.
A security team took Abdulmalik Righi and his men from Spinboldak to Kandahar. They were taken to the U.S. airbase in Kandahar, where they were introduced to the Americans and held initial talks on their journey to the Manas airbase near Bishkek, the capital of Kyrgyzstan.
According to Iranian intelligence officials, Righi was accompanied with three of his accomplices. They left Pakistan for neighboring Afghanistan after meeting with U.S. agents in Kandahar. Righi and his men flew from Kabul to Dubai. The group's ringleader was using a fake Afghan passport. Righi was flying from Dubai to Kyrgyzstan when the plane carrying him was ordered to land in the southern Iranian city of Bandar Abbas. Abdulmalik Righi has been one of Iran's most wanted terrorists. His Jundullah terrorist group has already claimed responsibility for the killing of dozens of Iranian civilians and security forces. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says Washington has made progress in its efforts to impose sanctions on Iran over its nuclear energy program.
Iran is at the top of my agenda. And in the Security Council, our negotiations are very intensely underway. There's been an enormous amount of work done by the Treasury Department and the State Department to design sanctions that will be aimed at the Revolutionary Guard.
Well, Clinton says she hopes the UN Security Council would endorse new sanctions in the next 30 to 60 days. She accused Tehran of refusing to live up to its responsibilities. Clinton also admitted that some key countries, such as China, are against new sanctions. Washington earlier said Beijing would face a diplomatic isolation if it did not go along with the punitive measures. China and Russia have opposed new sanctions on Iran. Well, Russia says it will not refuse to sell S-300 missiles to Iran. Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov says he will respect its deal with Iran to supply the country with the missiles. However, he says a series of issues must be solved before the final phase of supplying. He says Russia also respects its international obligations not to destabilize the region. Russia's foreign diplomacy chief also urged other weapons suppliers to stick to this principle. Iran signed a deal with Moscow worth $800 million in December of 2005 to receive the S-300 missile defense system. Meanwhile, Iran and Qatar have signed a bilateral agreement on defense cooperation.
In this document, we first emphasized that the two sides would not allow their territories to be used against each other. We also talked about joint military training, visits of defense delegations, joint military maneuvers, as well as cooperation in industrial fields. We reached a valuable deal today.
Brigadier General Ahmed Vahidi was speaking after meeting with Qatar's Chief of Staff of the Armed Forces. Vahidi stressed that Iran's defense capabilities are meant to preserve peace and security in the region, not to threaten any country. The Iranian defense minister is visiting Doha at the invitation of Qatari Crown Prince Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Attiyah. You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. Australia gets outraged over the use of its passports by an Israeli hit squad, summons the Israeli ambassador for explanations. A fresh UN report reveals that 131 children have been killed in last year's U.S. air raids in Afghanistan. And the Human Rights Watch slams Peace Prize laureate Barack Obama, says the change in U.S. administration has been limited to presidential rhetoric.